Welcome along to this week's Under the Abbey Stand preview show, looking ahead to Blackpool away and to see whether the U's can continue their recent good form after 6 points over the bank holiday Easter weekend. I'm Julian Roberts. I'm joined by Jack Swindlehurst. Jack, how are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Yeah, still very buoyant after said Easter weekend. And looking forward to a windy trip to Blackpool on Saturday.
Yeah, right. Nice to be beside the seaside. We'll see 5 p.m. Saturday exactly how nice, but it looks gusty up there for sure. It'll be interesting to see how much that plays a part, like you say. It's exciting, isn't it, after the weekend to be going into a game like this just with a bit of confidence. It's like a totally different mindset almost.
It is completely bizarre, like, being in this position, given where we were, you know, a week ago, and the kind of trepidation I was feeling about the end of the season and how difficult the end of last season was. And obviously we were putting results together, but we were very much looking at trying to get out. And it's almost as bad a feeling kind of looking over your shoulder, thinking you're going to get sucked back into it. The way we were playing, I was fully convinced Port Vale was going to be the game that would either keep us up or put us down, and it still could be. So the job isn't done, but we've gone a long way to secure in League One football for next year.
Yeah, we have. We did a bit of a sort of recap on the league situation, I think, at the end of the review show, which was only a couple of days ago, as the sort of schedule gets back to normal. But it's one of those things where, like, the table looks amazing at the moment, that 6 point gap, but like, you know, we're forgetting that Blackpool away are still one of the best home teams in the league, as we're going to hear later on with our opposition preview. I think before we do that, let's concentrate on us first. Just before we're recording Thursday afternoon during the working day. A bit naughty of both of us, but, you know, that's the benefits of it. And the only time we could record was now, so we didn't have the presser, but we realised there wasn't a lot to talk about without the presser. So we managed to blag our way into the presser. And Jack, you were the representative live in the presser. I mean, this is surely UTAS making it to the next level, surely.
Yeah, I didn't embarrass us too much. I didn't drop any...
You did ask a question, even though when I texted the media bloke and I said, look, I promise we'll just sit in the corner. We just need to record soon. And then we won't ask any questions. I just texted saying, how'd it go? He went, yeah, just ask a question at the end, just about Jove.
Well, also, like, I became a focal point of the meeting because my camera was on and then, like, I was introduced and then Gary Monk made a joke about us being unofficial so that we can slag the club, the players and him off. So it was nice to meet Gary, but he was great. And yeah, good to be there. Good to see how it all works. And he speaks really well. And obviously he's buzzing like everybody else after the results. So yeah, it was good to be there.
Yeah, what are the takeaways? I mean, there was Mannion first, right? Sounds like there's nothing much to take from Mannion. The players' ones are often fairly standard, I guess, right? But anything particular there?
I think he's just like really happy to have his chance. That both him and Monk kind of highlighted that they're sad about Jack Stevens, obviously, but you know, goalkeeping like no other place on the pitch. There is only one position, and you know, you're vying for that position with somebody else. So yeah, when you get the chance, he really wants to take it. He's feeling positive, and I think he's really relishing the fact that he's playing. And he says there's not much adjustment to be done, regardless of whether it's a back three or a back four, and it's kind of, you know, it's more concentrated on his game and, you know, commanding that box and doing his job. So yeah, it's he sounds positive, he sounds comfortable, and I think he's looking forward to making it his own, really.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, did they ever confirm what Stevens is actually out for?
No, and I wouldn't want to kind of surmise at all, but I mean, he had a really rough time before that, and you know, I imagine there's a niggle somewhere, but you know, they might be doing a bit of preservation for Jack Stevens too. I think, you know, when you ship goals like that and a couple of mistakes come in, I think he got a really hard time. And if you've got a niggle, you can maybe do a bit of rehab, go back to the drawing board as goalkeeper, and then, you know, start again. Whether we see him again, it'll be interesting. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, fair play to Mannion. Another player that we chatted about on the Tuesday review show. What about Monk then? So what's the update? Let's start with injuries then, maybe. So Morrison out again, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think he's pretty positive that Morrison's going to be back in training, probably tomorrow, actually, in some sort of training, but not ready for the game. But will be back for Charlton. Just a little niggle with his knee. Lyle Taylor, less good news. He's got a groin strain, but no chance of him playing on Saturday, and also might be out for Charlton, which is a bit of a blow, even with the Gasman and Fedge back. But
it's nice in that Charlton fixture for Taylor that you think like could have fired him up. Like, that's exactly the sort of thing he needs.
Yeah, it's a shame, really. But also, we know what he's like in big games and we've seen him get sent off. So maybe it's a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, you're not wrong. So just those two? that
Just those two, yeah. No, nothing new
those
other
two
than that.
go up in full health. Anything else to take from the presser? How was he?
Well, obviously, you know, very kind of buoyant after what's been just an incredible weekend, you know, still unbelievable to look at, but very much feet on the ground. You know, the job isn't done yet. And I think, you know, Mannion said that and Monk reiterated it a few times. I think he's very keen that we keep the momentum going. And even if, you know, pick up a result on Saturday, Monk wants to get the best out of the rest of this season. There's no kind of mindset of job done or, you know, any of that kind of thing. So I think he really does want to kind of push on and make a good run here and get into the summer, you know, well away from relegation zone in a bit of form with some players really performing. So he was positive, but kind of cautiously. But yeah, I think he wants more from the team. I think there's places that he thinks we should improve. And I think he kind of made a point that better teams on the day could have got at us still in both of the games that we played over the Easter weekend. So yeah, there was still a bit of cautious kind of optimism there and just thinking about where we can improve. So yeah, it was quite good to hear him speak because he wasn't just all kind of, you know, cliches and saying how well we'd done. He was picking out the points where maybe we could still do better and yeah, being very realistic about it all, which is good.
Very good. Sounds very exciting. Sounds like, I mean, there must be a bit of a feel-good factor knocking around the camp now. I mean, it was like when me and Tom went to the sponsors day, it felt, you could sort of sense there was like, it didn't seem like a squad that didn't get on with each other or didn't like, you know, there were like a big rift in between the squad or anything. You could just see it and sense it in the room that they were all, I don't know, there was a togetherness there, which was obviously surprising considering that's before this weekend, right? So I can imagine that actually backing up with some results, there must be a proper feel-good factor within that squad at the moment.
Absolutely. I mean, even when the chips have been really down for Cambridge, you don't often see the players getting at each other particularly, you know, like they will with measure, but you know, we don't see big fallouts in the team at all, really. And I think that's a good ethos around the club. I think because we're a smaller, a bit more tight-knit squad, I think kind of there isn't too many egos there, which is really good. And yeah, there was a real kind of feel-good thing about the press conference. I mean, I think Gary Monk's got a lot of respect in football generally, and I think he kind of deserves that, really. And even after having a break from the game, he's come back in and, you know, had some adversity in his early days as Cambridge United manager, has kind of bounced back from it. So yeah, I think he deserves this positivity and it's nice to have that feeling. And yeah, it was good to be in the press conference and everyone laughing and joking.
Yeah, great. All laughing at you, yeah, as the sort of outsider in there.
Well, yeah, there was a joke made about me slagging them off. And also, just a note on Gary Monk's body language in the press conference. He made a comment about both the big losses we suffered to Lincoln and Reading. He said there were a lot of comments about his body language made. And Monk said it was looking at knobheads like me on Teams on the laptop. That's why he's always looking down. So it's not that he's his body language is over the shop or anything.
Emphasis on the word knobhead, I guess. All right, so we're in good nick. Positivity is good, confidence high, no fresh injuries to worry about. Tough fixture up at Blackpool. Let's have a little chat about them. Let's get a preview first. We're not a podcast, not a journalist, but my mate Jack. Right, it's that time in the show where we get a preview from an opposition fan. This week we've got the very esteemed Jack Fallon, who is better known as my mate from work. Jack, how are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. I thought you were going to team me up with friend of the show, but we'll just go with
friend of me. Yeah, a colleague of me, I think.
Colleague, yeah.
Let's see how we go. I mean, look, we're spending the whole day together on Saturday. So I think by the end of Saturday, we'll judge whether you're friend of the show yet or not.
Yeah, I think, you know, a third appearance, sort of hat trick ball scenario.
Exactly.
Will you have dried up your religious Easter puns that you dropped in your review show? That was a stilted intro, Jules, if you don't mind me saying.
It was, wasn't it? Thanks, mate. Cheers for the feedback live. Yeah, that's good. I was pretty proud of the Holy Spirit section in that, but granted, I think my delivery could have done a bit of work.
There was one sort of, sorry, it's absolutely like minty on this. This is not the point of why I'm here, but 3/4 of the way into the show, you referred to yourself not, or you would have been a hot cross bunny.
No, that was a question.
Oh, but nobody really picked up on it.
And no, I know. I giggled a bit. I think it's one of those things where when you read it written down in a running order, and you go, oh, that'd be quite funny. And then you sort of forget about it until you're reading it out, and you go, and then you sort of have to deliver it like for the first time and say the words hot cross bunny. But that was Richard, who's a loyal listener, who sent that in. So I don't want to be besmirched.
Richard, yeah. What an Easter you've had, by the way.
Oh,
what,
mate.
What a time. It's a shame, really. Like, you don't really refer to like the Easter period as like a thing in the footballing calendar.
No.
The Christmas thing, right, where you play like four times in 6 days. Mm. But maybe that should be more of a thing. Maybe like other events in your calendar we should refer to, like, Sunday had. What a basketball day. They put some great,
great results. What a Shrove Tuesday that was, by the way.
Ash Wednesday. Yeah, how good.
Feels like the sort of thing where it's like, you know, people say who's top at Christmas. Maybe we should turn that into like who's 19th on Easter Monday. that's the barometer.
That's the one you won.
Well, look, who, if I was asking who's in the playoff places after Easter Monday, I would not be talking about Blackpool FC.
You would not.
Not the best Easter period for you, was it?
No, Jules. Yeah, 1 point from a possible six. I'm really, really sick of people saying we're like playoff chasing, or like we're mathematically still in it. It's like, nobody wants that. Like, Lincoln and Oxford are in it. Like, we want to be in it. They're not saying they're mathematically in it. They are in the hunt. We are like, we're cooked, mate. We are cooked. We're not playoff chasing. We are playoff failing, I'd say. So,
yeah,
great time for you to come to Bloomfield Road on Saturday where you need something. Can we're just... I think we're just short of confidence, mate. I'd imagine if you get a goal ahead. I think I may have said the exact same thing in December, so you might want to pull that clip up.
Yeah, although we went a goal behind that day and we still managed to do you.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Maybe, yeah, what am I talking about? yeah.
The wider picture here, because like obviously we chat a lot about your fortunes, but I'm just sort of looking through Blackpool's like recent results, and I remember you were heading to Orient on a Tuesday night, and you were not just mathematically in it; you were banging it at that stage. That was, but Orient with a chasing team, right? It was yeah. it was a sort of, I don't know, not a winner takes all, but it was a proper battle for that last spot, right, between you two. And I think you didn't show up that night, and it was just one of those days where you came in the next day, and I remember you saying, like, lad, you can't play like that and expect to be getting into the playoffs. And I look at your fixtures since then, and the way they've gone, not even necessarily results-wise, but it just seems like the goals have dried up big time in that period, and the players almost sort of shared your frustrations.
Yeah, I think to do some like actual proper football analysis here,
yeah, let's do it, because this pod isn't very used to it, so I think we should do a bit of it.
Maybe have a little go at it, yeah. I think we've just all season just been crippled by like inconsistency. Like at home, we're absolutely mustard. Like we're fourth in the league in the home table, but like we're 12th on mid-table away. Like we just cannot, for some reason, do it away from home. And I know you mentioned about the goals drying up there. I think it's no coincidence that Jordan Rhodes being injured, I think, twice this season. Like we've taken the rough with the smooth with Rhodes, where experienced goal scorer in the lower leagues, but also on the wrong side of 30 and very quite injury prone. So I think he's got some like ligament trouble in his knee at the moment. So I doubt we'll see him again this season. But we just can't score. We just cannot score. I don't know what it is. I think there's a couple of, when we got relegated from the Championship last year, there were a couple of strikers who I thought, oh yeah, they're really coming to their own in League One, and they just haven't done it at all. And not to get all like sort of, you know, talk sport on you, but I just think there's like so many players.
Where's this going? Just don't mess with the flag, lads.
there's so many like full-time players we've got signed on for next year who I just genuinely just, we're just getting used to like mediocrity. Like the level of the players is just, it's just not good enough. Like our three best players for me this season are all loanees. Rhodes, Dembele, and this lad, George Byers, we signed in January from Sheffield Wednesday.
Now, am I right in saying, just looking at the lineup that started against Wickham on Monday, none of those three featured? Are they all expected to be out? Or
yeah,
oh, sorry, Byers and Dembele off the bench, sorry.
Yeah, I think they both played on Good Friday against Derby, Byers and Dembele. I'd imagine they'll probably come in on Saturday. Rhodes, I think, is done for the season. He's back at Huddersfield doing his rehab, so I doubt we'll see him again. I think Byers is really tidy, like a really good player. I think his contract's up at Wednesday at the end of the season, so I like I can't imagine. Well, they might play him in League One, but I think we should probably put a bid in for him. Apparently Leeds is circling around Dembele, so I doubt we'll see him again. So yeah, it just, I think we've just got used to a lot of mediocrity in that team. I think, and this is just my personal opinion, I don't think it's one or the other in terms of like bad coach or bad players. I'd say it's probably 70-30 in terms of the players. But because Critchley in his history, I think fans are quite quick to jump on his back as soon as anything goes wrong. I think if we had another manager, the lack of quality in our squad would be way more the reason why fans are upset at the moment, for me anyway. But yeah, a bit of a rebuild job, I think, needed over the summer.
Just to put this into perspective for a second, for you fans who might not have looked at the league table or that end of the league table for a while, Blackpool is 6 points off the playoffs now. Lincoln have just taken that last spot. But that 6 points, as you're hearing Jack talking about there, is sounding like pretty insurmountable. And that's for a team like Blackpool, who have obviously, you know, they're ninth even now. So if you think that we're 6 points above the drop zone now, take games in hand out of the equation for the sake of the argument, which is just one that Cheltenham have got. If we're still worried, Hughes fans, like, we are saying that one of the two or three worst teams in the league is going to have to make up that 6 point deficit, which Blackpool fans don't think they can make up, and their form is far better, right? It just puts it into context, like, what 6 points is. Like, I think when you're being chased, you just think, oh, they're going to, that's still a problem. Whereas when you're chasing, it's like 6 points is so hard to catch up with anyone for, right? What's the opinion on the manager then? Because I think when we spoke in December, there was still the expectation that playoffs was definitely a minimum expectation for this season. Is that something that's fallen a lot at the manager's feet? Is he getting a lot of slack for how he ended up this season?
I think I'm probably more in the, I think I'm probably in the mindset of being a bit more like lenient towards Critchley. I think just with his history of leaving us and then coming back, I think he was on the back foot pretty much straight away. And I think we were all kind of expecting that we'd rip up the league. But then looking at the teams that are up there, they've all done their time in League One. Like, we came down with Peterborough and Reading last year, and Peterborough, you know, they'll have a crack at the playoffs, but they're nowhere near automatic promotion. But yeah, I think with Critchley, he can only work with what he's got. And I don't, like I said, you know, earlier, I don't think the squad's quite up to scratch. He's only had two windows since he's come back to try and get the players in that he wants. But yeah, I think there's always, people are always going to sort of be on his case because he left in the way that he did and the way that he came back. I think it's quite hard sometimes to separate the emotion from it, which is fair enough. There's probably are times where he gets, where fans do get really frustrated with the way that he tries to play. His squad selection sometimes does leave a lot to be desired. He leaves some quite good players on the bench. So I think there's a lot of work to be done, but I'm definitely not in the Critchley out camp, but I'd imagine that voice is starting to grow, considering, you know, we will miss out on the playoffs this year, I'd imagine.
Yeah. So what about for Saturday specifically? How will he set up, and who are the players to watch?
Well, he's really sort of committed to 3-5-2, so I'd imagine we'll stick to that. I think the players to watch, I hope Byers gets another run out. I think he's really tidy on the ball. He's got a really nice eye for a pass. Dembele, I think you saw earlier in the season against Cambridge, Jules, like, he is just a cut above in this league. He's just not probably playing in the best team. This lad we've got on loan called Hayden Coulson, he's been out for a little bit, but I think we might get him back. He's like a wing back. He seems to be quite nice. But again, it's like another one of our best players is a loanee. So yeah, I'd imagine those guys will be ones to watch in the weekend. Up front, it's sort of two from four, and all four for me just like haven't done it this year in terms of strikers. So yeah, I mean, I am looking forward to going up, and I generally,
it does sound it, mate. Jesus.
Generally sounds like we're going to get relegated or something, but I think it's just with the expectation for the season and just to be so far off the pace and not, you know, slipping away, playing a team, Cambridge, who are going to be bang up for it, especially after two really good results. We have got the thing that's keeping me going is our home form is really good, and the home form all season has been class. I think if we do go ahead, then I've got a lot more sort of confidence in seeing out and getting a decent result. I think if we do go behind and you guys can set up, you know, a low block against us or whatever, then I think we could be in trouble. But yeah, I think there's I'd like to maybe see like a couple of more like the fringe players and the young players get a bit of a shout potentially for next season as well. So yeah, we shall see.
Yeah, worth mentioning that home form. I mean, it's the fourth best home form in the league, which is quite remarkable, to be fair.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, your away form is 12th in the league. And to put that into context, like Barnsley's home form is 12th. Obviously, we went and beat, and Wigan's away form is 16th. So this is, in that sense, at least, that those tables will indicate this is a much sterner test, even if, from what it sounds like, Jack, would you go as far as saying that Blackpool are on the beach? Not physically, obviously, you know.
Near the beach, very good. I think there's probably an understandably like subconscious level from the players that like they surely can't think it's still on. Like you're saying, we're five games out, with 6 points to make up, Lincoln are on absolute heat at the moment. I'd almost think like, yeah, obviously they're all going to say the right things in the presses and we're still in it and all this sort of stuff.
Imagine if they didn't.
Yeah, imagine they're like, no, we've absolutely blown it.
Absolutely fuck this.
We actually asked. I think there will be a level where, you know, if we were chasing, we'd be like right on it and looking to kill the game off early. But then look, saying that, if we win on Saturday and results go away,
yeah,
it's a completely different train journey to the way up, where I'm thinking, oh my God, hang on a second. Because we do actually have some quite favourable fixtures after this. I think we've got Fleetwood, Carlisle and Reading all to play before the end of the season. So it's like, oh my God, imagine if we do.
If you look at your last five, I mean, you're playing four of the bottom seven.
We've got a nice little run in there. But,
you really do.
But yeah, I think, you know, Lincoln are just, like I said, I think they're doing what every team wants to be doing around this time now, just coming out of nowhere, getting that last spot. Probably, I'd imagine the four now are the four who will be in the playoffs. And if you want to be going into that in form with nothing to lose, finishing sick, like you're a dangerous team. So yeah, I don't know, mate. I don't know. I think it's still a long, still not, sorry, still not take a lot for us to get back into.
So go on, what's your prediction for the game then Saturday?
I'm just going to be boring and say a draw. I think it'll be 1-0. I think we'll score first. I think you've just got that sort of, Cambridge have just got that hunger at the moment in decent form. You know, like I said about Lincoln being the team in great form going in the playoffs, you're doing what every team down there wants to do. Like I personally think you are out of it. I think it's probably four out of those five, Carlisle done, Fleetwood, get them out of here. No offense to Charlie.
Completely
Adam.
Agree though, by the way.
Charlie, yeah. Adam, genuinely one of my favourite like 20 people on the planet. But like my mum could manage Fleetwood Town and I'd still want them to get relegated. I think Vale, bit of a slippery slope.
Burton as well. I'm having Burton.
I just don't think Burton. I think Cheltenham are the team to get out of there. I think get a positive result against us, pull a rabbit out of the hat, then I think you're laughing, mate. So
yeah. I think we'd all take a point coming up there. I reckon that's one of them where, like, you know, we sort of take advantage of maybe a slight lack of maybe commitment to the game for you, like if it's 1-1 going into the last sort of 10-15 minutes. I don't know, like it depends, because other results, like you just mentioned it, like if things go your way Saturday, you could be right back in the mix. If things don't go our way Saturday, which is possible, if maybe not likely considering the fixtures the other teams have got, you're suddenly like drawn in, could be 4 points off it, Cheltenham game in hand, then that's suddenly a point. And it's like all of a sudden you're right back in the mix, right? But look, football's a weird old game, isn't it, Jack?
I think something I'll be interested in is, say Paul do win at the weekend, Critchley does this like fist pumping thing.
Does he? I've never had him down as a fist bumper.
Yeah, it's a massive like Klopp thing. Like your former friend, Neil Harris. And then...
Don't speak about him.
I'd be interested to see like what response he gets if he does do that. Because we could win and everyone else around us could win. And like, I think that's a real indicator of like the feeling towards the management. Yeah. Like I said, I'm definitely more in the camp of like, I just think the players aren't good enough. Like we've just got used to mediocrity. And I'm sure they're nice lads and I'm sure they're really good around the changing room and all that sort of thing. And that's great. And I'm sure they'll go on to have really good careers. But just like right now, they are just like not what we need. Like if you look at our team compared to like Portsmouth and Derby, we are miles off it, mate. And we, at the start of the season, we're in that conversation. So yeah, bit of a weird one at the moment, for sure.
Yeah. It'll be interesting next season as well to see what sort of team you end up building and what the expectations are given like the sort of season you've had and like the whole Rhodes thing and if Huddersfield come down, what happens there? I mean, this is a whole other conversation now, but hey, look, one thing that I didn't put on this little running order that I put together, but you've just reminded me of it with that Neil Critchley chat, is I think we should speak about the game we've been playing recently. Actually, it's less of a game. I'd call it a theory. Would you go as far as a theory?
I definitely think it's like a theory for sure, rather than a, I mean, you could call it a game. It's something to pass the time on sort of
It just
long.
kills time on long train journeys.
You go for it. You explain it, Jules.
So basically, me and Jack have this theory that every manager, every football manager is on a scale or a spectrum from pub landlord on one side to PE teacher on the other. And I think everyone listening will know instantly what I mean, but they're somewhere along this spectrum, some more than others. So I think some good examples, like Neil Critchley is a PE teacher. Mark Bonner, God love him, PE teacher, not dead. PE teacher. Steve Evans, pub landlord.
Did we say Paul Warne was
Well,
a?
Paul Warne was a contentious case. See, I
I'm taking a pint of 4.2% Continental Fizzy Lager from Paul Warne.
I completely agree, but I think some people had him as a PE teacher, so maybe he's sort of closer to the middle. The one that we agreed that was bang on the middle was Gary Monk. Like he could either, he's almost like he runs a good Saturday team, but you know his full-time job is running like a pretty well-established, like decent boozer in the village.
Yeah, he is 100% the neutral on the
Right down
pitch.
the middle.
And I think, as we've discussed at length, Jules, League One is the chrysalis of, like, you can have a really good split of both. I think if you go up to the Premier League, they all become PE teachers. And as you get down the national leagues, you've just got reams of landlords. And this is like a not like a it's a totally objective thing. Like, it's not saying PE teachers or landlords are bad.
No.
Like it's like a, it's a plot. You plot them on the scale.
Yeah, and you kill half an hour, and that's crucial.
We did get much buy-in from your friend of mine, Tom Walker, in the pub after you got done 6-0 by Lincoln. I think he was a different place when we played that game, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. So we'll do it again on Saturday, but I think all listeners should have a go at it as well. I mean, here's another great example that I think we came up with. Darren Moore is not just a PE teacher, he's head of games at like a pretty good private school. Like that sort of thing. So yeah, do send in any suggestions you've got for that at Abbey Stand Pod. This is the sort of thing that can run for weeks and as we said, kill some time.
And you can also do it where, like, you can go back through your own managers, like, if you
Yes.
like keep it like within your own club. So, like, Simon Grayson probably runs Boozer, like,
Yeah,
probably
Boozer.
Flat Roof Pub. Shout out to any Flat Roof Pubs. But like Michael Appleton is maybe like a really scary
I think he's
PE.
a PE teacher. He's almost like a rugby teacher again in like a in a posher school, right? I think
Exactly.
you know like our legends like John Beck, definitely a pub landlord, absolutely terrifying geezer. He's not the sort of pub you want to be going into. Anyway, look, you know, everyone enjoy this game. That's our present to you, Jack. It's been a pleasure. Last question. This is just for any listeners, but are there any decent pubs around Bloomfield Road that they should head to?
I
Right.
well, the home pub at the Armfield is just near the ground, which I would avoid because obviously there's quite a lot of home fans in there. It depends if you want to make a day of it. Get yourself down the front, get yourself down near the pier, and enjoy that. There's loads of like boozers around there, and then just walk into town for the game, I'd say, mate. That would be
Right.
my plan of attack. Then just trying to think of anything else to call out. No, I think that's probably it.
Hands on the beach, fish and chips.
Notriani ice creams. If you want the best ice cream in the world, shout out to Notriani's ice cream. I'd say it's
Okay.
the best on the planet.
That is a big claim.
Yeah, and I've been to them all. So,
All
watch out.
right, mate, let's leave it there. I'll see you on the 8:30 on Saturday morning.
Yeah, nice one, Jules. Cheers, mate.
Thanks very much, Jack. That's Jack, Blackpool Jack, and Cambridge Jack, or well, should I say Carlisle Jack, I guess. All Grimsby Jack. This, how are you feeling about this game? Because I think it's interesting. I think obviously we go into it with that confidence that we just spoke about and coming off the back of a 6-point weekend, etc. On paper, playing one of the best home teams in the league. So this is probably one of the toughest the toughest asks to go and get something from as an away side in the whole division. And yet, like, you speak to Blackpool Jack there and you hear the way he talks about that team, and it sounds like a team. I mean, it's a team that has obviously not hit their expectations and their targets, is the obvious thing. So then being ninth, sort of, you know, depends what your targets are, right? I guess for us, that's the heady heights of ninth. For them, it's a bit of a failure, especially considering they've got, you know, a player in the form that Jordan Rhodes has been in this season and probably not capitalised on it as much as they should have done. But it's funny, isn't it? Because I think on paper, it's one of those games where Blackpool will be clear favourites, and the odds reflect that we're nearly 5-1. But, like, I know I'm not a positive guy when it comes into these things, but I just think if you think about the mentality of the way me and you are speaking about us and the way Blackpool Jack is speaking about Blackpool, I sort of fancy us to get something here. What do you think?
I feel like we're so fickle as football fans. You know, I've been so doomed.
It's a fickle game. It's a fickle game. It's all on form.
And absolutely, I think I'm completely with you. Like, I believe that we can go there. We've got the momentum. And the Barnsley game especially just fills me with a lot of faith that we can go to really hard places and win. I know they've had iffy home form and Blackpool is better. But yeah, if you think about that kind of confidence from a fan and then just how Jack was speaking there, he kind of feels like he sounds dejected and almost like the season's going to go out in a damp squib. So I think they might be a little bit there for the taking. Obviously, the players won't have that mentality, and they'll still believe that they can make up the 6-point gap to the playoff. But they haven't been performing at that level consistently, neither have we. But we've got the momentum and we've got the form, and I fully believe we can go there and get something.
Yeah, they don't score goals either. I mean, they're in their last few games, they've really struggled since Rhodes has been out, basically. I think he was suspended for one and then he was out injured. I mean, they drew 0-0 and lost 1-0 over the bank holiday weekend, lost 1-0 at Wigan before that. Beat Northampton 1-0, but then drew with Pompey. I mean, like, they're still good results, though. Like, they don't lose at home very often. So it's not like I'm expecting us to go there and get something, but I just think we've put ourselves in such a strong position that more than anything, the pressure can be off when we go there, which is almost a luxury that I think before the weekend, you're thinking you're going into this like edgy, like sort of needing to pull a rabbit out of the hat a little bit is probably the expectations. But not to say that we're safe or anything, but you look at that league position now and it's like you get to go and just enjoy a day out a little bit. And sure, I'm sure we're still going to be in a relegation battle at the come 5 o'clock on Saturday. But just it's at arm's length still, unless things really don't go our way, which obviously could happen. And that's the thing, right? Like, you know, I sort of say, like, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. But like, what's the point in a preview show if we're going to just say that, right?
Well, I think what one point is that, like, we haven't had a game that we can go into with this open of mind in almost, you know, one and a half seasons. It's so long because of how long and how far last season went and how this season has been so kind of below par. We've not really got any form together the whole season. So we've been there and thereabouts the whole time. So having this feeling, you know, 2 wins on the bounce is one thing, but that 6-point gap gives us, you know, a heightened confidence we haven't had for a very long time. And I think that's, as you said, football's a fickle game. It can change the, you know, the drop of a hat. But I you know, you can completely understand why the feeling about this club is quite good about this game. And, you know, it's an amazing kind of treat of an away day to have. You know, you've got to go so far, and it's going to be a bit fun for everyone who's going. And then also, you know, to believe we can get something out of it is just, you know, it's brilliant. It's an added bonus.
It's incredible because I think this was one of the ones that when the fixture list came out, everyone sort of like circled straight away. And like to see it in April, you think, oh, like sunny weekend. I mean, it's not going to be sunny.
No.
But I think we've all kind of anticipated that. Sunny weekend in April up at Blackpool. Hopefully you're safe by then. You just have this big, like 800 plus United fans go up there, have a big end of season party, basically. And it's as close as realistically we're going to get to that because of how good Easter weekend was. So it's one of them to just go and enjoy, but to be able to also go into it with a bit of confidence that we're playing so well and the team is looking settled and confident and Blackpool's isn't, from everything that it sounds like, that, why not go into it with a bit of confidence? I mean, you know.
One thing I will say is I feel like we need a bit of a thumping at the weekend because these positive pods are going to get on people's nerves very quickly, aren't they?
I was actually saying to you just before, it's like, God, it's all a bit positive. I don't really know what to say. Like,
news makes good news, doesn't it? Yeah, that's what they say. And your team's doing well, it's hard to kind of come up with much content. But I'm not saying that if any Cambridge United players are listening, please do badly. We'd like to carry on doing well.
Yeah,
we
absolutely.
We can do positive pods till the cows come home.
So what would you do in terms of lineup? I mean, it's probably the same again, right, as Wigan?
Yeah, I wouldn't do too much to it. Yeah, I mean, given that what we just heard from Gary Monk and, you know, no Morrison and no Taylor, I wouldn't really be inclined to change it. You know, we've got options from the bench. There's people coming back. It'll be interesting to see how he does set up. Might be a little bit of rotation. I mean, Job, apart from anything else, has played an awful lot of football. And I know he's young and fit, but, you know, he's come in and kind of hit the ground running after playing, you know, almost every minute for Gateshead, and it'll be interesting to see if he carries on in the team. So yeah, there may be a change, but Gary Monk seems to me like a manager will stick to his guns if it's, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it kind of mentality. And I think, yeah, we should just carry on. You know, it's been a busy few days, but yeah, I think we should, you know, keep on in the same vein and, yeah, keep the same lineup.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the team looks like the right one. Before I ask for your prediction for the game, Jack, I wanted to know what you thought of mine and Blackpool Jack's game of I keep saying game, but I think it's more of a, like I said, more of a concept, which is that every manager is on a spectrum from pub landlord to PE teacher. Just like to know what your opinion is on that.
It's amazing. It's
genius,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It's the best thing ever. I mean,
if we
ever stop doing this podcast, I will gladly do that podcast with you and do it for hours. It's just an incredible concept.
How does that podcast look, do we think? Do we think it's like an episode on a person and we just analyse? Yeah, it's ambitious for a podcast, but I'm not against it. Or we pick a league and maybe we create a one.
Yeah, no, I think you'd have to do it a league. It'd be quite, you'd have to go really in depth if you
do it. Yeah, it's pretty niche.
Or you could do like, you know, you can make a game out of it where you describe the person and what they do, and then the person has to guess the manager. You know, there's quite a lot of variation you could do with it.
Any specific shouts that came to mind when we were talking?
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple. I just think Roberto De Zerbi from Brighton was the one that, you know, it just reminds me of a kind of like little town, owns a posh kind of wine bar deli that kind of masquerades as a pub. Manages the kind of local semi-pro to nearly pro football club, and a lot of the players are waiters and barmen in the bar. And then, you know,
so he's in the middle. You think?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I think he is.
I'm with you on the first bit. I think he's very landlord. I think that's spot on. He's sort of taken over a small town pub, and he's really, really gentrified up to another level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you can't really go in there for a drink without having food. And
So I don't. I don't think football's was his trade, but I think he kind of like, it's like that rich man in a small town doing it because, you know, it's a kind of like prestige thing to do the football thing. That's my mindset on it.
Do you know, I do think though, as Jack said in there, like the Premier League, you do get a lot of sort of tapas bar owners and wine bar and deli owners by this point, but League One's brilliant because it's just pub landlords and PE teachers. Yeah. And it's straight down the line.
Steve Evans definitely owns a pub where there's a pickled egg jar.
Yeah. It's the biggest flat roof pub going. So is, you know, Darren Ferguson, same thing. I mean, that's what I reckon. Darren Ferguson like runs like a Yates's in Bedford or something like that, that has a scrap every single Saturday night out the front. Anyway, that's enough. Everyone listening can play along and do your own pub landlord, PE teacher when you're driving up to Blackpool this weekend. Jack, here's a question. Will we be coming back with 3 points?
I just can't shake this feeling of positivity at the moment. I think we're going to go there. I think we're going to give them a game. I think the wind will play a factor. I think there could be some real comedy football being played on Saturday because of the wind. Goal kicks going back over the goalkeeper's heads, that kind of thing. But yeah, I think both teams will score, but I'm going to go Cambridge 2-1.
Oi, big stuff. I'm going to go 1-1. Similar to the preview there, but I like it. I love the positivity. I'm all over it. Well, let's see, shall we?
Let's.
All right, mate. Well, let's see if these positive thoughts continue. On Sunday, you've got me and Tom back to probably two quite hungover chaps, to be honest, on Sunday. So you can look forward to that. Until then, Jack, always a pleasure.
Never a chore.
For fuck's sake.